affecting the timing. Earlier this week, President Bush said that decision would fall to a future president, indicating our troops would be in Iraq until at least the end of 2008. Lawyers or no lawyers, he says he'll testify in his own defense, that from al-Qaeda conspirator Zacharias Moussaoui. Moussaoui says he has consistently refused to work with his lawyers. The prosecution rested after an ex-FBI agent, Aaron Zebley, testified investigators might have nabbed 9/11 hijackers if Moussaoui had cooperated. More foreign companies to handle U.S. port security. This time, the Bush administration is hiring a foreign company to handle port security just outside the U.S. The Hong Kong company was given a no-bid contract to screen U.S.-bound cargo in the Bahamas for nuclear material, making it the first foreign company to run a sophisticated U.S. radiation detector at an overseas port without an American customs agent's presence. Documents obtained by the Associated Press show the Bush administration is working a similar deal with a Philippine company to install radiation detectors in its country. More headaches for students taking the SATs. There's yet another revelation about scoring errors on last October's SAT exam. And now that the SAT could also face legislative scrutiny, that from a New York State lawmaker saying he plans to hold hearings about the scoring problems next month. The latest wrinkles in the exam include news that 27,000 exams had not been rechecked, as previously thought by Pearson Education Measurement, the College Board's scoring vendor. Altogether, about 495,000 tests, 4,411 students were given incorrectly low scores. One test was off by as much as 450 points on the 2,400-point exam, though the vast majority were off by 100 points or less. You're listening to Air America Radio News. I'm Mike Piazza.
Welcome to Mike Malloy Show. Peter Werby sitting in for Mike. Mike and Kathy and little Molly off on a vacation. This is, what, my fourth day? I'm beginning to feel like it's my show. I hope Mike's not listening when I say that. I know it's not. I know it's not. In fact, I got a great email from Rod. Rod wrote in to calltalkyes@yahoo.com. That's where you can get emails to me, Peter Werby. Calltalkyes@yahoo.com. But some of you aren't listening to me. As I said, please limit yourself to one email a night. I said just for forwards. Some of you are still sending me like 6 and 8 forwards, and I've seen them all because I look at the same sources you do. All right? So one really hot one, one where you think your old pal Pete couldn't have possibly have seen it because you got it off something pretty obscure. All right? And even opinions, although I appreciate your opinions. And when I wake up in the morning, some of you have written me these very long, heartfelt messages, and I read them all. So I'm not against you sending long messages, but don't send 3 and 5 and 7. You know, it's kind of like a chat room. In fact, there are chat rooms, aren't there? Aren't there chat rooms that are listening to this show? And that's the good place to do it. Okay. So, but I mean, I appreciate you thinking about this. It's just that it's too much for me to manage. It's just me. I don't even have a Kathy. Everyone else on Air America, they've got producers in the plural and writers and staff people and engineers. And it's just me sitting in this studio in a rock and roll station in Detroit, Michigan, you know. So, in fact, if you go to my webpage, PeterWerby.com, last name W-E-R-B-E, go down to the right. There's sort of the rules, at least that I ask you, in terms of emailing me. All right. But this I did appreciate from Rod. He says he wanted to say how much he enjoyed me subbing for the great one, Mike Malloy. He is indeed. Big shoes to fill. You have great poise and perspective on a wide range of ideas and issues. That's not why I'm reading it, though. Now, Mike always talks, and this is my favorite. In fact, most of Mike's vitriol, his denunciations and all that, they're all my favorite. I just pale in front of this man's rage, right, against how much he hates those people. And so do I. He expresses it. Sometimes I try to imitate him when I'm telling my friends about Mike Malloy and they've never heard him before. And I can't do it. I don't even come close. I don't even come close. He's got such a unique style. I think he's the best in the biz. You listening, Mike? You going to hire me back? No. In fact, they're somewhere where there's no internet, so he's not listening at all. Anyways, so Mike calls this criminal regime in Washington, the ones that stole two elections in a row are all set to steal a third unless we do something. He calls them the Bush crime family. The Bush crime family. I love it. So a weak second is what I call them, Bushco, like B-U-S, B-U-S-H, capital C-O, like Bush Incorporated. But Rod's got me beat. He calls it Bush and Sons, Inc. Bush and Sons, Inc., formerly the United States of America. I like that. Good luck and keep up the great job you do. He said that to me, but I'm saying that to you as well. Listening, calling in at 866-303-2270 is your end of it. My end of it is opening the mic and saying this is the Air America Radio Network, the Mike Malloy Show. I'm Peter Werby. At 34 minutes after this hour, we're going to be talking with Eric Bloomrich. Eric Bloomrich is the webmaster of bushflash.com, bushflash.com. I say that several times and with emphasis because you can go look at it in advance, and he's going to be a good interviewee in and of himself, but I think it might enrich it a little if you went to his website, buzzflash.com. Now, I've never been, remember that old Kink song, a dedicated follower of fashion, a dedicated follower of fashion? Yeah, the Kinks is one of the all-time great bands, both musically, in terms of the innovative way it approached rock and roll, and also the songs and the lyrics. The lyrics were very rad. And Ray Davies continues on. He's, God, let me see. When did they put out, like, You Really Got Me? I think it was like 1964, so we're talking like 42 years ago. And the man is still putting out the LPs. I don't think they call them that anymore, though, do they? They're CDs now. And he's got a brand new solo album out. But so I never could follow fashion. When I went to high school in the late 50s, I just, I was okay. I wasn't a nerd or a geek. And, hey, Gaia, love you, nerds and geeks. I don't say that in the pejorative way the really cool kids did, because you didn't have the exactly, or even me, the exact right clothes. You didn't wear them right, didn't have a cool car and all that. Screw those people. They all turned out to be Republicans, right? That's what occurred to me. Those really sharp delts, and excuse me if I'm stepping on anyone's toes, you know, these frat rats. It's the Bush type. I mean, I look at Bush, and I think, he's the guy I always hated at Michigan State. These arrogant, dumb, rich SOBs that no matter what they did, it didn't matter. Got bad grades, knocked up their girlfriend, as we used to say back then, got drunk, got in fights, smashed their cars, smashed windows, you know, all, and this back in class on Monday, right? So I never liked those guys very much, and I didn't like fashion very much at all, but I didn't want to be totally out of it, so I made some attempt of it. And fortunately, I mean, the woman is my wife now, is my girlfriend then, and like now, she tells me, yes, wear this, yeah, you know, don't wear that and all that. She still helps me. Wouldn't occur to me to go shopping by myself. Like, I was going to buy a pair of Levi's, and you know, have you seen Levi's lately? Or jeans? Actually, this, I can't remember, this might have actually been a Levi's store. They're ripped. You know how your jeans look like you after you've worn them for like 5 or 6 years? Well, now they come like that. And she said, you're out of your mind. One thing, you're not 17. And the other thing is, this is such a total ripoff. They have jeans that are called destroyed jeans. Destroyed jeans. And they cost about $125. And there's paint on them, and they're ripped, and they got all kind of stuff done to them. And they're signed by the person that did it. Like, you know, destroyed by Derek. Well, I really liked it when the 60s. In fact, I loved it when the 60s came along. I love the 60s. That was such a terrific decade. Some horrible things went on, but we as a generation stood up to the people in power. And also culturally, everything about it, and I mean everything, I liked it. There were, of course, some casualties along the way in terms of what I liked, but if you kept your head about you, it was okay. But the thing I liked almost the best was the anti-style, the revolt against the 1950s, crisp and clean, where everyone had those little buzz haircuts and starched shirts and no facial hair and all that pressed pants. And so now you could just wear a T-shirt and Levi's, kind of like what I got on right now, right? So it was nice. And you didn't have to go get a haircut like every – I knew a guy got a haircut every 10 days. Every 10 days he got a haircut. He got his nails done, his shoes shine. What a schmuck. He's a Republican now, right? So I just loved it because you could be casual. I mean, isn't that the way we want to be? Don't we want to relax? Isn't that what Marx said? Workers of the world, relax. Oh, no, I think he said unite. But I say, workers of the world, relax. That's what we've got to do. Let the bosses do the hard work for a while. Anyways, it's all coming back. I started noticing this. I thought, man, that's a sloppy kid. You know, I see some, like, you know, kid now, 19, 20, 21. I'm sorry. I'm sure there's people listening. Young men. And they got their shirts out, and they've got kind of nerdy-looking shirts, like with, you know, vertical stripes. Just doesn't look right. Well, this is like big-time style. You've got to look at the New York Times to see what the, you know, this is all happening. And then it's starting now again. I saw this article today in the New York Times called Paul Bunyan, Modern-Day Sex Symbol. And it's the story, the article is, of John Martin, who is an advertising director at a magazine called Vice. In big competition with Spin, right? I know Spin. And he's got a big beard. In fact, he got the idea from Ulysses S. Grant, whose beard he came to admire after watching the 2003 Civil War era drama Cold Mountain. 2 years ago, he began experimenting with different beard styles, which he described as ranging from neat to burly to unkempt. His facial hair was an expression of individuality in a tide of metrosexual conformity. Do you know what metrosexual is? Come to New York. I'm not going to tell you. I mean, it's nothing that I can't say on the air. It's just too long. Everybody at Air America knows what metrosexual is. Justin, D, yep, they're all going, yep, I know, I'm there, like that. It's a sign of the times, says Mr. Martin. People are into beards right now. Okay, you're saying, isn't this a political show? What the hell are you talking about fashion and style? It'll all come in when we come back in the Mike Malloy Show. 866-303-2270. I'm Peter Werby.
You're listening to the Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
The lies, incompetence, greed, and pure stupidity of the Bush crime family are all revealed in the game Impeached. Hi, Truth Seekers. This is Mike Malloy. And if you despise this crime family like I do, you need to visit ImpeachBushGame.com and buy the only board game that's bold enough to tell it like it is. Go to ImpeachBushGame.com, buy your game, and check out the Bush, Satan Rove, and Deadeye Dick voodoo dolls. I've got my game, and I'm sticking pins in my Bush voodoo doll right now! So visit ImpeachBushGame.com and join in on the fun today.
Have you experienced a random act of kindness? Someone you haven't seen for years suddenly come back into your life? Do you know a positive story that inspired or motivated you? Aleve invites you to share your good news at AleveGoodNews.com. For years, Aleve has been devoted to providing good news for people with arthritis pain. Now, Aleve invites you to share your good news at AleveGoodNews.com.
Use is directed for minor arthritis pain.
Hi, Truth Seekers. You're listening to Peter Werby, sitting in for me, Mike Malloy.
Thank you, Mike Malloy. 866-303-2270. Man, all this stuff about fashion and style sure is a lot of BS, isn't it? It really doesn't matter whatsoever. And, you know, I know people that have shaved heads and no facial hair and tats and no tats and piercing or no piercing. What is the difference? This article I'm reading from about sort of the new edge of style. Beards are back. Actually, in to some degree, I like that. Because about 10 or 12 years ago, I shaved most of my full beard off and cut my hair. My wife said I was beginning to look like an old hippie. And I said, well, you know. And she said, but you don't want to look like that. And I'm thinking, I do want to look like that. I want to walk in the room and have people say, this is an old hippie, and he must still identify with the 1960s. You know, I know. You think burnout and all that. I don't know. What the hell? Doesn't matter. According to this article on the New York streets, trends in scruff have reached new levels of unruliness, a backlash, some beard enthusiasts say, against the heightened grooming expectations that were unleashed with the rise of metrosexuality as a cultural trend. Men both straight and gay, it appears, want to feel rough and manly. Not me, I'm just lazy. I hate shaving all the time. In fact, since kind of that scruff look has come back, I just shave about every 3 or 4 days. I got a, what do they call those things? A Van Dyke, a mustache and a goatee together. That was very fashionable, right? Like ponytails for guys. I don't have that. Let's see. They never have conducted a survey about women's attitudes towards beards, even those not underwritten by the Gillette company. Oh, I'm sorry. No survey ever conducted about women's attitudes towards beards, even those not underwritten by the Gillette company, has indicated that no more than 2 or 3% of women would describe a full beard as sexy. Mr. Martin, the guy with the beard, says, I hang out with those girls who are in that 2 or 3%. Yet the return of the wild beard carries a certain erotic charge that has been missing from beards since the furry freak look of the 1970s, or at least those who grow them hope they do. That refers to the furry freak brothers. That was a cartoon about hippies. They actually didn't all have beards either, did they? But I don't know. What did I see that was in here that was pretty? Oh, yeah, yeah. Shaving. People used to ask me, why do you wear a beard? I'm thinking, wear a beard? I'm thinking, you buy this instrument with a sharp edge and you scrape your face and you're asking me, why do you wear a beard? How weird is that? So I don't know. I'd be pleased if beards came back, but I don't want to talk about that. Let's go to Jenny. Jenny's in Buffalo, New York. Jenny, it's the Mike Malloy Show. Thanks for calling 866-303-2270. Peter Werby at your service.
Hello. First of all, thank you for taking my call. I've been trying to get through for a few nights. In Buffalo, we have AM 1270, and we're just so thrilled to have it because I get to listen to your program and others that I really love.
Isn't that good?
So thank you for that. The other night you had a story about Republicans that were polled that they're apparently happier.
Well, that's what this poll said, that Republicans are happier than Democrats.
Yeah, and I just thought to myself, well, of course, ignorance is bliss. Perhaps that's the reason. But I have to say, I mean, in all seriousness, most of the Republicans that I know, truly, I don't believe are happy, and if they are, their happiness seems almost superficial.
Well, let me ask you this, Jenny. Do you think they could, I mean, you really think it's ignorance? I mean, do you really think that they, I mean, they must watch the same television we do, right? I mean, they see the, they see Katrina, they see Iraq, I mean, they see the bodies, so I don't know if it's ignorance. Maybe it's just cold-heartedness.
Well, in many cases, I think it is. And I have to say, even with the people that I know that are even in my family that are Republicans, there seems to be this holier-than-thou or this very strict moralism, this code of, they like to cloak it in that, or work ethic. And I say, you know, not in the style of Emerson's self-reliance, you know, I mean, because Emerson was a Unitarian, you know.
Sure, sure.
But these people are very severe and almost, you know, Vulcan-like, you know, in their, I don't know.
Vulcan, wow.
It's like they're just somehow dissociated.
I got you. Thank you, Jenny. Appreciate your call. Let's go down to Memphis and talk to Rosemary. Rosemary, hi. Peter Werby on the Mike Malloy Show.
Hi, Peter.
Hi.
I got in. I called Mike several times, and, you know, it seems like I kind of get, you know, this little, it's hard for me to get through, but, you know,
here you
I'm
are.
A regular listener. I just wanted to tell you, you know, you're doing a wonderful job for him.
Well, thank you.
I know he appreciates it, and I've really enjoyed, you know,
Well, thanks for the kind words. I'm going to have to get people saying dittos or mega dittos. Go ahead.
You know how Mike and was it Kathy, they were teasing you or a little bit, you know, you say you're really good friends about, I remember he said, now, you know, I'm more, he says, you know, he's really cool and everything, you know, he doesn't, you know, get it, you know, he doesn't, he's not like me exactly, you know, so, and I thought, do you know what this guy's going to sound like, you know, his friend, so, and so I, what was it, Kathy that said, you were, what was it, the what was that?
Perry Como. Yeah, no, that was somebody, that was called Damned by Faint Praise, but fortunately, Rosemary, somebody came back and said that I was the Miles Davis of talk radio. Cool on the outside, hot on the inside, gotta love it. No metrosexuality here, although, hey, some of my best friends are. Right, listen, we're going to take a break, and then we're going to come back with Eric Bloomrich. He's the webmaster of bushflash.com, and I'm going to start off with a little music that I found on his site that he animated. Amazing guy, an amazing site. It's the Mike Malloy Show. Peter Werby here with you. We'll be right back.
This is the Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
My name's Tyler, and in 9 years, I'll be an alcoholic. I'll start drinking in middle school, just at parties. But my parents won't start talking to me about it till high school.
Kids who drink before age 15 are 5 times more likely to have alcohol problems when they're adults.
Thing is, my parents won't even see it coming.
So start talking before they start drinking. To learn more, go to StopAlcoholAbuse.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, the Ad Council, and this station.
Time furnished by the Office of National Drug Control Policy.
Don't let a stiff neck or an aching back or even arthritis keep you from being active. Go out and get the Salon Pause Patch. Salon Pause medicated patches provide fast and sustained relief to aching muscles and joints. Simply apply the Salon Pause Patch where it hurts and enjoy hours of soothing relief. No fuss, no mess, just lasting relief. So don't let muscle pain slow you down. Be more active with the Salon Pause Patch. Salon Pause is available at major chain drugstores and pharmacies.
Some of the best minds in the automotive industry, using some of the most sophisticated design facilities. Engineers from Ford Motor Company are working together on a common mission, creating safer cars for our families and our children. Ford is renewing its commitment to driving American innovation. At the core of that effort is your safety, because every single life saved is worth it. Ford. Driving American innovation.
More coffee, mister?
Yes, please. Oh, boy.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Hot coffee all over you. Let me get some paper towels and some cold water. Are you all right?
Why, I'm just fine, young lady. It's just scalding coffee.
Mister, you must be gelling.
That's why I'm not yelling, even though there's considerable redness and swelling.
More gel, more gelling. New and improved Dr. Scholl's Massaging Gel Insoles. More cushioning, totally outrageous comfort. To start gelling like never before, see the doctor, Dr. Scholl's.
Waitress, how about some more coffee?
lots of dollars. They concentrate the wealth and they disregard the squalor. I hate Republicans. I hate Republicans. Baby, I can't stand those Republicans.
You know, so do I. Welcome back to the Mike Malloy Show. Peter Werby, broadcasting, sitting in for Mike. I'm in Detroit, Michigan. 866-303-2270. That's just the opening lines of the Happy Tones from their CD, Play Politics. And I'll tell you where I found out about that. That was on Eric Bloomrich's website, buzzflash.com. Eric Bloomrich is with us. Hey, Eric, welcome to the Mike Malloy Show. Peter Werby here with you.
Good evening, Peter. And it was Franklin and Fat Freddy who didn't have beards.
That's right, on the fabulous Furry Freak Brothers.
Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, how you feeling? I know you've been sick for a long time.
You know, the whole avian bird flu and mad cow disease and everything. I seem to be a magnet for these sort of things.
Now, let's tell people what BuzzFlash.com is.
Now, that's a common misconception. It's not BuzzFlash.com.
I'm sorry, BuzzFlash.
BuzzFlash is a media portal that really everybody in your audience who is web savvy needs to go to every day. BuzzFlash.com is just a personal site that I created several years ago. It started off with me creating certain Flash animations, because this was back during the days when the first days leading up to the Iraq invasion. And I realized that there were a heck of a lot of people out there that really were cheering for this war, because quite frankly, they didn't understand what war meant.
Sure.
And so I had an idea. Why not take a bunch of these pictures, put them up there, sync them to some music, and have it up there available for download or streaming. And in the first couple of days, I got 50,000 hits on these sort of things.
Wow.
And basically what I mean, in these days of blogs and everything, it's pretty much commonplace that, there are a heck of a lot of media portals out there right now and such. But basically what I think that my experience in creating my site proves that a guy in New Jersey with $60 to spare a month can create a website that gets more traffic than AnnCoulter.com or the Republican Party's website.
Well, it's just fabulous. And just tell me this. How many, I meant to keep saying Bush Flash. How many times did I say Buzz? I hope not too
many. You said Buzz Flash about three times. No big thing. People need to go to Buzz Flash, too.
But Bush Flash is what we're talking about. Eric Bloomrich is my guest on the Mike Malloy Show. Peter Werby here with you. And what we're talking about, let me just make sure that people understand this. We're talking about an animation where you see a montage and other visual effects, and in the back is music, like the Happy Tones, I Hate Republicans. Now, one of my favorites is, what's the name of the band that sings Idiot Son of an A-Hole?
Oh, that's NoFX. That was a great disappointment. I recently came back from Washington, D.C., where I attended a media summit as a guest and quote-unquote video expert or whatever. And you know what? I was known as the guy who created Idiot Son of an A-Hole. They didn't know anything about any of my other work.
Maybe it's because of my site. I've got those two linked. I've got to update it. Hopefully what happens, people will go to my site. And besides just those two songs, those two videos you've created, they'll go to the rest of it. Because that's what, like 3 years ago, 4 years ago, right?
No, actually, BushFlash.com started about 3 years ago, just about 2 weeks before the invasion of Iraq.
Really?
Yeah, basically, I came back from the big demonstration that we had in Washington, D.C., where we had, no, not D.C., but New York City, where we had anywhere from 500,000 to 1 million people in attendance.
I saw you there.
I come home that evening, and I turn on the TV, and who do they have? Who does CNN, the great liberal network, have to provide commentary about this? Rush Limbaugh.
No
and
way.
You know what? I said to myself, if no one out there is going to, I mean, I was just so outraged that I said, you know, I have a few hours to spare. I don't go out on dates very often. I don't get out of the house very often. So I'm going to sit down with this little program that I know called Flash and create something and hopefully express what I feel through that. And what's really encouraging is that since I started this, prior to me doing this, I'm not going to toot my own horn. There were a heck of a lot of people that were doing this long before I did, notably the guy who runs TooStupidToBePresident.com.
Yeah, sure.
I don't know if you're familiar with that.
Yeah, sure, I am.
And, sorry, dry throat. In addition,
you got to do it here. I mean, I've got this. I've got the same thing you got. So I've got all these cough drops sitting here. Let me let you rest for a second.
I'm fine.
Bush. Well, no, I was just going to talk for a second. Tell people about Bushflash.com. Eric, how big is your staff?
One.
Yeah, that's what I thought. And you're talking about you, right?
Yeah. I mean, as I referenced blogs earlier. There are a heck of a lot of people out there that now have blogs that run CMS software, and I mean, that's how sites like Crooks and Liars and Brad Blog and a lot of very excellent sites out there, in particular crooksandliars.com, which is another site that really all of your listeners should go to daily.
Well, let me ask you this. I put together my site, peterwerby.com, mm-hmm. and it's nothing compared to yours. I don't do any work. I essentially just copy and paste, and people send me things. I find things. And it just takes me all the time in the damn world. How the hell do you create things for it and have a website of this magnitude?
Don't get out much, and you work 4 hours a day every day on it. And probably on the weekends you work anywhere from 8 to 10 hours. And quite frankly, I haven't been had as much time as I'd like to continue work on it as of late. Because right now I'm trying to transfer it to the new traditional blog setup that sites like Brad Blogs and Crooks and Liars use, so I can facilitate posting other people's work, because one thing that's happened in several years, as I said, just a few years ago, there were only about 3 or 4 people producing their own media, their own political media. But in that time, I could tell you thousands upon thousands of people have gotten into the game. And, I mean, the one thing about that song, you know, they say they own the penthouse, the factory, and all that. But, you know, on the Internet, the progressive side really controls, I mean, media. We're talking about viral video and such. Like I said, I mean, here I am, a guy that runs, that just has a few hours to spare and $60 a month, and I get more hits than the Republican Party website.
The thing is,
there are so many people out there that are producing so much good work, and it just goes to show that really the Internet is such a great leveling the field. I hate to really be so upbeat about it because I'm really a Luddite at heart.
Well, I am too, but I got sucked into it. Let me ask you this. When you keep mentioning how many hits you got in numbers, more than the Republican Party, more than that weird Ann Coulter, how many do you get on a month or a year?
I mean, overall, since I started, about anywhere, I'd say unique visitors about 8 million and about overall 10 million total.
That's a lot.
Not really when you compare it to sites like Crooks and Liars and other sites that have really just burst to the fore in the last year. It's quite amazing seeing how things are just developing out there.
Well, yeah, I haven't gone to all of this. You have when you go to bushflash.com, people, there's commentary down the middle, but there's also these creations of Eric Blumrich, our guest here, takes music or it's not all music, is it? It's some of it's commentary, but all of it is extraordinary in terms of its visual impact. But so you have like store. What do you got there for sale?
Nothing. I'm going to be shutting that down. Quite frankly, it just turned out to be a big boondoggle on that. Right now, I make. I make enough to cover operating expenses via Google Ads, which is a great service.
Oh, yeah.
But I really don't run the site to make money. So, I mean, when I started this, I started it because, well, you know, I hate Republicans, and I still do.
Yeah, me too.
So, I mean, it just serves as a catharsis for me, an outlet, if nothing else. And I'm pretty sure that everybody out there, you know, over the last few years, we've suffered so much. We've had to endure so much crap, and there's sometimes when you just want to scream. And, I mean, rather than just sit here and scream into a pillow, I sit in front of my computer and I scream at my, I don't know, I scream through my keyboard.
Well, I would say you're doing a hell of a job, but that phrase has kind of come into disrepute lately. Hey, I want to thank you for joining us.
Pardon me. What word that's come into disrepute?
You're doing a hell of a job. Remember?
Oh, well, thank you. That's heck of a job.
A heck of a job, right. Heck, he wouldn't say hell.
Yeah, of course. He's
you're doing
Christian.
A heck of a
He's
job,
He's a good Christian man, Peter. Yeah. Why do you have to put him down all the time?
Well, have I told you tonight how much I hate these people?
Oh, come on. You got to have the love within you, man. It's all about the love.
Eric Bloomberg, thanks for joining us. Bushflash.com, bushflash.com. Check that out. It's a great site. Appreciate it. And, hey, feel better.
You too, man.
All right. We'll be right back in the Mike Malloy Show. Peter Werby with you on the Mike Malloy Show. We're going to be open line till about 45 minutes, so join us. You can get in if you give it a whirl right now. 866-303-2270. I'll be right back.
The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
The following is a message from Brutus at the National Disaster Search Dog Foundation.
Last October, three buildings collapsed. I was called in to help. Two little kids were missing. I looked everywhere. Then I found them. They were crying. We all were.
Be part of the search. Call 1-888-4K9-HERO or visit searchdogfoundation.org. Made possible by Searchdog USA.
Ever wonder who coined the phrase, "We eliminate the middleman"? Well, one thing's pretty certain. It wasn't the middleman. And how did they eliminate him? Something fishy there. But I digress. GEICO pioneered direct-to-consumer car insurance over 65 years ago, and they've been saving smart drivers money ever since. Give them a call, and you might ask them, what did they do with the middleman?
GEICO's customer satisfaction stands at 97%. How would you rate your car insurance company? GEICO, 1-800-947-AUTO. 15 minutes could save you 15%.
We'll be right back.
And now, back to Peter Werby on the Mike Malloy Show.
Thank you, Mike Malloy. 866-303-2270. This subject that I brought up a few nights ago keeps riling people. It's okay. I understand it, and I'm not disparaging your distaste for this conclusion of this report. It was like the Pew Research Center. Pew. P-H-E-W. No, it's actually P-E-U. And generally, they're pretty trustworthy. But they found that Republicans are happier than Democrats. We talked about this all one night, but you know, it's open line. We can always revisit it. And I said, we've got a lot to be unhappy about. People, decent people, liberal people, tolerant people, people that care about the planet and care about other people, we've got a lot to really be unhappy about. And there is an ignorance on the part of these right-wingers, these conservatives, and these Republicans because, hey, we're on this speeding train going along 110 miles an hour, and we're in this crystal-set dining car, and we don't know. We know. You know, the bridge is out up ahead, and these some of you call them these repukes don't know it. And if you try to tell them, they say you're a Now, sort of. People have been saying that. Has that people been saying that to you again lately? People have been calling me a commie, a communist. I go, wow, man, that's weird. It's like some other era. Sounds like we're doing an archive show when someone calls me that. Anyway, Pat's listening in Richmond, Illinois, and she wrote into calltalkyes@yahoo.com, and she says, I agree with your caller. While she didn't express it this way, I believe this is what she was working her way around to. Republicans aren't happier. They don't know what happy really is. If they knew how miserable they really were, they wouldn't be able to stand it. Bush Flash Rocks, one of our favorite sites. That's what we just had a guest on from that. I'm sorry, I'm trying to multitask. And boy, I'm reading that. I'm reading something in my hand, and I'm working the mouse. I know that's nothing if you're under 30. You can do that easily. It's harder for me. I'm over 30. Let's see. Steve writes in, no, Republicans don't watch the same TV media we do because I said their happiness, as many of you said, is not based on ignorance, is that they see the bodies of Katrina, they see the bodies in Iraq, they know that people are dying. And you know this deal where Cheney, when I go to this hotel, I want to have sparkling water and Fox TV. I want to make sure it's on Fox TV. So he's got to have Fox TV on all the time. So the contention is, according to Steve, is that they watch things like Fox, and then, let's see, I find that when I bring up these issues to people that watch bland corporate media, Rush, Fox, MSNBC, CNN, those that get their news from the above sources are ignorant. I'm sure guys as aware as you know about the difference. Well, yeah, but they showed bodies on CNN floating in the water. They had their anchors there that were as disgusted with the incompetence and the indifference of these morons, these cronies of Bush around Katrina, as we were. All right, let's go to Chris in Santa Fe. Chris, welcome. You're on the air. Is this my old pal, Chris?
Absolutely. Yes, it is. How are you doing?
Hey,
sir?
Chris used to call our show on the old IE America radio, and what, it's still KTRC?
Actually, you're on KTRC. My radio show was dumped because it went to Air America.
Well,
Air America giveth, Air America taketh away.
What's that
my question basically was, when do you think it's going to happen soon that the crack White House press corps is going to start tag team or serial follow-ups? I mean, I know you heard Helen Thomas's question to Bush,
sure,
and his non-answer, and all it would have taken in that press conference was for one person to stand up after Helen Thomas and say, thank you, Mr. President, for answering a question that no one asked you. Would you please answer Helen Thomas's question? The whole thing will fall apart. It happened a little bit during the Nixon administration. I think sooner or later it's going to happen now.
Well, I don't know, Chris. They'll certainly do it to Scotty, right? They despise that weasel.
Well, even to Scotty. You know, the truth is that when Bush stands before real questioners, he has five answers that can be fit to any question. Like if someone stood up and said, Mr. President, what about the enormous asteroid that's headed toward Earth, Bush would say, and you know this, Bush would say, well, it's a crisis. And my view of crisis has changed since 9/11. And Al-Qaeda and Russ Feingold are pro-asteroid. You know that sort of thing would happen.
Sure. Sidney Blumenthal, Chris, wrote in The Guardian today, said in his latest PR offensive, President Bush came to Cleveland on Monday to answer the paramount question on Iraq that he said was on people's mind. They wonder what I see that they don't. After mentioning terror, you know, he doesn't say terror, he says terror, one syllable, terror, 54 times he mentioned terror. And
yeah.
Victory 5, dismissing civil war twice and asserting that he is optimistic, he called on a citizen in the audience who honed in on the invisible meaning of recent events in the light of two books, American Theocracy by Kevin Phillips and the Book of Revelation. Phillips, the questioner explained, makes the point that members of your administration have reached the point that members, that have reached the out to prophetic Christians who see the war in Iraq and the rise of terrorism as signs of the apocalypse. Do you believe this? And if not, why not? Bush's immediate response, as transcribed by CNN, was, Then he said, the answer is, I haven't really thought of it that way. Here's how I think of it. First, I've heard of it, of that, by the way. Well, talk about dodging an important question. The fact that these right-wing Christian wackos have control of the most powerful nation in the world is truly frightening. Chris, great to talk to you as usual. Peter Werbe here on the Mike Malloy Show. We're going to be open line for the first whole segment of next hour, so stay tuned and do call 866-303-2270. The Mike Malloy Show, I'm Peter Werbe.
Mike Malloy on Air America Radio. This is the Nation Minute on Air America Radio.
On Monday, I went to the Bring 'Em Home Now concert and heard some great music. But with the exception of Bright Eyes' Conor Oberst, I felt that the event was lacking truly great protest music. To me, a great protest song combines outrage, hopefulness, urgency, and poetry. It captures the historical moment and pulsates with the frenetic energy of political crisis, but also resonates with timeless artistry. The man who wrote the greatest protest song of my generation, Chuck D of Public Enemy, actually did come out on stage, but sadly introduced another artist rather than perform his seminal Fight the Power. Other than Eminem's Mosh, no recent protest song has moved me in the way that the songs of my parents' generation have. I'm still waiting for the next great protest song, and I really do believe that the anti-war movement, or at least the younger faction of it, needs good protest music to sustain it. I'm Sam Graham Felsen for Air America Radio. For more, check out thenation.com.
More coffee, mister?
Yes, please. Oh, boy.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Hot coffee all over you. Let me get some paper towels and some cold water. Are you all right?
Why, I'm just fine, young lady. It's just scalding coffee.
Mister, you must be gelling.
That's why I'm not yelling, even though there's considerable redness and swelling.
More gel, more gelling. New and improved Dr. Scholl's Massaging Gel Insoles. More cushioning. Totally outrageous comfort. To start gelling like never before, see the doctor, Dr. Scholl's.
Waitress, how about some more coffee?
Thanks a lot for the ride home. Hey, no problem. Just because you're a sophomore doesn't mean I can't talk to you.
Thanks.
Hey, while you're here, want to take a hit of some weed? Some good stuff. Here you go.
This is the moment your guidance can prevent your teen from smoking marijuana. So visit theantidrug.com and learn how to set clear rules about drugs. Parents, The Antidrug. Sponsored by the ONDCP and the Partnership for a Drug-Free America.
Air America Radio News, I'm Mike Piazza. The FBI now on the case searching for two Milwaukee boys who haven't been seen since they went out to play Sunday. An agent says there's no evidence of crime, but the families of 11-year-old Purvis Parker and 12-year-old Quadrivian Henning say the boys would never have wandered off. Without any significant leads, police say a $17,000 reward is being offered for information. Purvis's mother, Angela Virginia, says she believes the children were taken against their will. Violence continues to rage in three major areas of Iraq, that from U.S. military spokesman Major General Rick Lynch. Those areas are in three central provinces, including Baghdad. Today's fighting left dozens more dead in execution-style slayings, bombings, and gun battles. For the third straight day, Sunni insurgents hit a major police and jail facility, this time with a suicide car bombing that killed 25 in central Baghdad, including 10 civilians and 15 policemen. More hostage rescue operations expected in Iraq, that after a U.S. military spokesman says a raid freed three Christian peace activists. Major General Rick Lynch says the operations will probably be a result of what investigators are learning now. Reporters asked Lynch about freelance journalist Jill Carroll. Lynch says he has no new information he can discuss. The only information on Carroll comes from videotapes delivered to Arab TV outlets. Carroll hasn't been seen since she was kidnapped in Baghdad in January. Russia and China had better get on board the UN rebuke of Iran's disputed nuclear program. Our Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice issued a veiled warning stating there can't be any stalling, Rice said in a response to a question about U.S. efforts to get Russia and China to sign on to a strongly worded rebuke to Tehran. Russia and China have refused to back a UN Security Council statement proposed by Britain, France, and the United States demanding Iran suspend uranium enrichment. More foreign companies to handle U.S. port security. This time, the Bush administration is hiring a foreign company to handle port security just outside the U.S. The Hong Kong company was given a no-bid contract to screen U.S.-bound cargo in the Bahamas for nuclear material, making it the first foreign company to run a sophisticated U.S. radiation detector at an overseas port without an American customs agent presence. Documents obtained by the Associated Press show the Bush administration is working a similar deal with a Philippine company to install radiation detectors in its country. Air America Radio News, I'm Mike Piazza.
Welcome to the Mike Malloy Show on the Air America Radio Network. Peter Werby sitting in for Mike. Mike and Kathy and little Molly off on vacation all this week. So it's me and you. You were at 866-303-2270. That means you call that number. We get you on the air all across America, all across the world by the Internet. And let's see, this hour we are going to have two film directors. They have a brand new documentary out called The Big Buy, How Tom DeLay Stole Congress. And this is all put together by Robert Greenwald. Robert Greenwald, the producer of some of these fine films. Remember Uncovered, Outfoxed, and Walmart? The Walmart movie, tremendous. So hopefully this is going to put drive a stake through the vampire Tom DeLay's heart, attempting to get reelected in the midst of this being nailed to the wall, nailed to a cross, he'd say, for his corruption. Let's see, what else? Oh, yeah, in politics, thanks to Tim for this. He wrote into calltalkyes at yahoo.com, calltalkyes at yahoo.com. He said, we just had an election here in Illinois. It was yesterday. Our primary is the very first of the election on March 21st, some victories and some disasters. Tammy Duckworth, and I hear a lot of this electoral stuff on Air America, and I have to be real honest. Not that I don't think it's important, but I don't follow it quite as closely. I'm really a lot more keyed in to grassroots organizing and media concerns, how people's attitudes are formed. And that means, of course, that they're going to act on those when they go to the voting booth. Both of those, not just media responses on the part of people, but also what kind of organizing or lack of organizing have they experienced in run-ups to elections. So here's what Tim tells us, the disasters. L. Tammy Duckworth, a Rahm Emanuel, who is a congressman from Chicago, a pro-war Democratic Congressional Candidate Committee AstroTurf candidate, beat populist Christine, now many of you have heard this name a lot of times, so I'm guessing at it, though, Sigelis, C-E-G-E-L-I-S, Sigelis, by 209 votes. So Duckworth beats Sigelis by 209 votes. Okay, very close. Duckworth likes permanent bases in Iraq, according to Tim, and is funded by the DCCC, that's the Democrats, to the tune of $2 million. They sent $2 million her way. She's an Iraq vet. She lost a couple of legs in a helicopter shootdown. Sigelis has hard-earned $200,000. Now, get that. Duckworth got 10 times the amount of money. Now, this is another just obscene use of money. Think about donating to the Democratic Party, and they intervene where there's a progressive fighting Democrat like Sigelis and give it to sort of a mainstream moderate Democrat. I mean, why the hell are they even being involved? I mean, they want to manipulate the election returns of that district. This is not, I'm not talking about they're running against a Republican. They're intervening in the party primary. Now, Sigelis' hard-earned $200,000 came from people like me, Tim, who makes $18,000 a year, and he gave 10% of his gross income? Tim, wow. $1,800. Talk about widow's mite. That's what that nut, Catherine Harris, Cruella, said she's going to give up her $10 million. And then he says to lose by 209 votes is a bitter loss. A bitter loss, indeed. The wins. Democrats win in Illinois locally in areas long controlled by Republicans. The collar counties, the oldest suburbs, are ripe for conversion from red to blue. They're finally figuring it out. Now, let's see here. What do I have in this whole pile here that I want to tell you about? Well, part of it has to do both with media perceptions and also with organizing, grassroots organizing. How do we do that? Most of us now are depending on the Internet for grassroots organizing. And I'm not real sold on it. I know it works. I get notices of meetings and rallies and demonstrations and what have you, and I go out to them. But I don't notice. It's not like now. Everybody has the Internet. Everybody gets these messages, and everybody comes out to them. We were talking, what was it, maybe on Monday, about the lack of participation in these demonstrations on the third anniversary of Bush's criminal war and invasion and occupation of Iraq. I do know that as long ago as, over 40 years, you ever see that documentary about the March on Washington, the 1963 March on Washington, shows him cranking out mimeographed leaflets. So you don't need an internet. And all of those enormous demonstrations of the 1960s, late 60s and early 70s, wasn't any internet. People were organized. Remember what we had, those of you who were back then? We had what we called phone trees. So someone would initiate it, and then they would call me, and I would call five people, and those people would call five people. And am I advocating going back to that? You know, yeah, I am. Because you know what that means? Rather than this anonymous email, and someone's, man, I got 300 emails today. What happens is I got to call somebody, and I say, Sam or Jane, hey, there's going to be a demonstration downtown Detroit this coming Saturday. That was last Saturday. I'm just saying that's what I would have said. But instead, I just sent out this big mass mailing. And I've got hundreds of people on my mailing list, and there was only 300 people at the Detroit demonstration. So it didn't work in that regard. Had we had a phone tree, would it have worked? I don't know. But I know that we are marching forward with media concerns, and here's something I got that our own Al Franken, the host of the Al Franken Show on Air America, is going to be at a media. Well, here's what it says: Media Matters for America and Air America Radio to host a forum at the GW Auditorium. What the hell is that? Couldn't be what we think. Why Media Matters: Progressive Voices and the Media. And so they're going to be having this event on Wednesday, April 5th at 4 p.m. And oh, it's going to be George Washington University. Should have said GWU, and I would have known it. The Media and Public Affairs Building. And it's free and open to the public. Now, this is extraordinarily important. And I hope that there still is not, I'm sure there is going to be, though, still this idea that if the Democrats just give up endless amounts of money that we have raised and that rich people have given, Hollywood folks and all that, people that give money to the Democratic Party, is not going to be just flushed down the rat hole once again of these TV ads. Now, I suppose in the modern era, we've got to do some of that. But what really would work would be the resurrection of what was called in the 1960s the underground press. Now, if you're probably over 45 or 50, you remember that those were the papers that were put out by young people, people as young as their late teens and into their 20s. And we created a network of newspapers that had a weekly circulation of 4 or 5 million. And it was extraordinary the impact it would have on local areas among the activists, particularly. That people depended on the Los Angeles Free Press or the Berkeley Barb or the paper that I worked on, what was called the Fifth Estate, the name stolen by the CBC television magazine. And it was the news of the day. You say, well, we can get all of that on the Internet now. Well, you couldn't. I've just been archiving a lot of those newspapers, the Fifth Estate newspapers. And by the way, you can go to fifthestate.org, fifthestate.org. In fact, mail in. I'll talk to these folks. Mail in, and they'll send you a free issue. The paper has been going for almost 41 years, and it's not quite the same. It's not a community-based paper anymore, and it doesn't play the same function. But it did, and there are some now that do as well. Particularly, I'd like to mention the Asheville Global Report. The Asheville Global Report. You can go to agrnews.org, agrnews.org. There's another one around here in the Detroit and Ann Arbor area called Critical Moment, and it's criticalmoment.org. So why am I telling you about this? Well, you might want to support these people. You might want to remember that we didn't have to stick our heads in front of screens 8 and 10 hours a day, that we could actually sit back in the nicest room in our house or our apartment and read. And when we came to a sentence that either kind of pulled our coat, as we used to say, pardon me, to a new idea, or we didn't understand it, we could kind of stop and relax, take a sip from our cup of coffee or tea, and kind of, remember they had an old-fashioned word, cogitate. We'd cogitate. Think about what was said there. Reading stuff on the Internet. I mean, I'm old school. Maybe a lot of you have figured this out a lot better than I can or can assimilate a lot better. I don't believe it. think you got to read. You got to read newspapers. And what the Democratic Party or we should do, screw the, I said a bad word, screw the Democratic Party. We've got to reinvent what people in their late teens did in the 1960s. That's a vibrant, radical press that has visions and goals. It's the Mike Malloy Show. I'm Peter Werby. I'll be right back to get your calls.
You're listening to the Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Are you losing your hair? Fight back with Avacor, now with Boost, which gives you visibly thicker hair with the first application.
I'm 20 years old and I've been losing my hair for 3 years. I started using Avacor and my hair stopped falling out. It's working.
Well, I'm 72 years old and I can tell you honestly, I have a fuller, healthier head of hair now than I did when I was 18 years old. Avacor really works.
Whether you're 20, 72, or any age in between, Avacor works. An Avacor Boost will improve your hair's appearance the same day you receive your order. Call now and find out how you can get 3 months of Avacor free with your order. Call 1-800-301-1420. That's 1-800-301-1420. This is a limited time offer, so call right now. 1-800-301-1420. That's 1-800-301-1420.
Joe, Peter Werby sitting in for Mike on the Air America Radio Network, 866-303-2270. My idea about re-energizing a local media in the form of newspapers, I know we have these free tabloids and all that, but ones that are overtly political and culture radicalism that out there on the cutting edge of what makes culture go. That's what we need. And then those could be used. Those could be used as organizing tools. This is from Dave. He's listening at Grosse Pointe, Michigan. He says, you are what you read. And it's 10 descriptions. One, the Wall Street Journal is read by the people who run the country. The Washington Post is read by people who think they run the country. The New York Times is read by people who think they should run the country and who are very good at crossword puzzles. Four, USA Today is read by people who think they ought to run the country but don't really understand the New York Times. Number five, the Los Angeles Times is read by people who wouldn't mind running the country if they could find the time and if they didn't have to leave Southern California to do it. The Boston Globe is read by people whose parents used to run the country and did a far superior job of it. Thank you very much. Number seven, the New York Daily News is read by people who aren't too sure who's running the country and don't really care as long as they can get a seat on the train. The New York Post is read by people who don't care who's running the country as long as they do something really scandalous, preferably while intoxicated. The Miami Herald is read by people who are running another country but need the baseball scores. The National Enquirer is read by people trapped in line at the grocery store. None of these are read by the guy who is running the country into the ground. I like that. All right, let's go to our phones. Here's Joshua out in Oregon. Joshua, hi, it's Peter Werby on the Mike Malloy Show. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Hi. I like 620. I like what you guys are doing.
Thanks.
Do you know what's going on there? Or I'll just tell you, I'm a high school student in Canby, Oregon, and I write for the school newspaper. And our last issue, I wrote an editorial about impeaching George W. Bush. And the editorial was picked up by a right wing news talk show host, Lars Larson. He's pretty big on the West Coast.
Okay.
And he read the article. And slammed me and used my full name.
Wait, hold it, Joshua. Did he read it on the air?
Or? Yes.
Oh, that's great. Go ahead.
Yeah, I thought it was great, except for the point that he didn't say that it was an editorial. And in fact, by saying saying certain things, he inferred that it was not an editorial. And also, from what I heard from it, he left out a large portion of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not quite sure what to do. That's why I'm calling, and I want your opinion. And
I don't know if there is anything to do other than to take my congratulations. Has there been any repercussions on your end at your school or in your hometown?
Yeah. That's why I've been physically threatened. My school has been called many, many times. My advisor for newspaper has been just slammed with phone calls all day.
Well, you need a support system. How is that area that you're in predominantly Democrat?
It's red. It's very red.
Very red. Well, it's, you know, it's difficult. I mean, if you did it here around me in Detroit, way back in this part of the country, no one would probably even bat an eyelash. And if some wacky right winger started giving you a hard time, the whole community would be outraged, and the mayor would be on your side, and the school board would be on your side. But when you take a stand in an area that doesn't have that basic community support I was talking about earlier, it becomes dicier. I mean, I guess I would say that this is going to die down. So it's not very pleasant to be physically threatened. Was it to your face?
No,
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
That's good. I suspect that this will be what they used to call a tempest in a teapot. In other words, something that will go away. But I'll still stick to my congratulations to you for taking the stand. But we were talking earlier, a few days ago, I guess it was now, about that when you take stands against the government, the people, when we hear arguments, we meet arguments with arguments. But these people at a real core, and you've seen this in action now, they're fascists. They want to shut you up. They don't want to debate. They don't want to hear your side of it. And ultimately, the fascists threaten violence, and at the worst part of it, they carry it out. I don't think that's going to happen to you. I'm not trying to frighten you or anything like that. But it gives you an idea of the mindset. And One thing you could do, and this is up to you, it depends on how much trouble you want to stir up. Write another editorial, Joshua.
Oh, I don't plan on stopping at all.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. Yeah, I would do that. I mean, you don't even have to have it. You don't have to do it in the denunciatory style that I do or Mike Malloy does. Simply report what has happened, and I think people will be properly shocked that Joshua gave his opinion in print. Where do we have the right? Doesn't that come out of some document or other? What's it called? Oh, yeah, the Bill of Rights. I remember that. And, I mean, what a disgrace it is that that you've been subjected to this. So, I don't know if that's any advice, but that's my opinion.
It's well-put encouragement.
Hey, thanks a lot. Can you send it to me?
I would love to, yeah.
All right. Now, you have to. I don't think I have time for all this. So, do you know how to spell my last name? My last name is W-E-R-B as in boy, E. So, it's Peter Werby. Go to peterwerby.com. And I think somewhere it says contact Peter or something like that.
Yeah, it'd be interesting. It'd be, I'd love to.
Love to do it. All right, thanks, Joshua. Give him hell. That's what Harry Truman used to say. Remember though, and he's, I don't give him hell. I just tell him the truth, and they think it's hell. All right, we got our guest coming up when we come back. Two guys from Texas have made the Tom DeLay movie. It's called The Big Guy: How Tom DeLay Stole Congress. Right back with that on the Mike Malloy Show. I'm Peter Werby.
This is the Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio. Do you know the power of financial empowerment? Ambassador Andrew Young, humanitarian and educator, has teamed with Operation Hope founder John Bryant to help eradicate poverty through financial literacy education. Mr. Bryant, how is Operation Hope meeting this challenge?
To empower 5 million youth in 5 years in financial literacy.
Ambassador Young, what's your role in financial literacy education?
Well, I came up with Martin Luther King in the Civil Rights Movement, and now we're trying to develop a Silver Rights Movement. Young people in the system of free enterprise and capitalism need to understand money and how it works. It takes an army of volunteers, business leaders, educators, the entire community. We need the community's help.
If you need financial hope, we're here to help you. Call Operation Hope at 877-592-HOPE. That's 877-592-HOPE. Or visit us online at operationhope.org.
There's a natural resource that exists everywhere on the planet that could help end poverty. And yet, it's being ignored. That resource is women. In many of the poorest parts of the world, women are pushed to the sidelines of their societies, not allowed to play a significant role. At CARE, we found that if given a chance, women possess incredible power to create change. So CARE is working to educate girls, working to help women start businesses, working to empower women worldwide. Right now, you can help CARE unleash this resource around the globe. For as little as $2 a day, you can make a difference to millions around the world.
I am powerful.
I am powerful.
She has the power to change her world.
I am powerful.
You have the power to help her do it.
To make your gift to CARE, call 1-800-486-0916. That's 800-486-0916. 800-486-0916.
And now, back to Peter Werby on the Mike Malloy Show.
Well, thank you, Mike Malloy. 866-303-2270. We're going to be talking to a couple guests from Texas, and then we're going to be open line for the rest of the show. So if you want to take advantage of those toll-free lines right now, 866-303-2270 will get you on the air in just a little while. You know, Fahrenheit 9/11 just broke the bank, didn't it? Not just financially, though, for Michael Moore, but it opened the floodgates for a whole series of documentaries and for an audience absolutely thirsty for the truth. And there's been such a string of them, and there's a new one to add to it. It's called The Big Guy, The Big Buy. It is The Big Guy, The Big Buy, How Tom DeLay Stole Congress. And it's a film, a documentary, put together by Mark Birnbaum and Jim Schermbeck. Jim, sorry. Mark, how am I doing on your name? I'm screwing it up, aren't I?
You got my name right, and Schermbeck, you got his right, too.
Schermbeck, there you go. That's good. Hey, were you guys calling from Texas?
Yes, I'm in Dallas,
and I'm out in West Texas.
All right. Congratulations on your film. Tell us the story of this film and how it came to the attention of Robert Greenwald, who gave us Walmart and Outfoxed and Uncovered.
Well, we've been at it for about 3 years, and we finished pretty much last night.
Really?
Yes. Jim was here in Dallas yesterday, and we watched the show one more time, and it's finished. It's taken almost 3 years.
Assuming you made all those changes, I...
It's never done, let me tell you. But sometime you just got to say, this is completed. And
we actually thought that we had finished the film last summer. After the indictment of Ellis, Robold, and Colyandro, Tom DeLay's aides that ran his PACs here in Texas, when they were indicted in Austin, we finished a one-hour film that we showed at the Dallas Video Festival last summer, and we thought we had told the story we'd set out to do, and I told Jim that the only thing I thought could change that would be if Tom DeLay were to be indicted, which I thought at that point last summer was not going to happen. I thought if Ronnie Earl had the goods, he would have done it by then. Of course, he was indicted, and the film kind of exploded into the press just after his indictment, and that was how it came to the attention of Robert Greenwald.
Now, you can go to TomDeLayMovie.com and see more about it. I'm talking to the two directors and producers of this documentary, The Big Buy, How Tom DeLay Stole Congress. Now, is this complete? I mean, we might have a situation where Tom DeLay is going to get reelected and he's going to be found not guilty, and you'd have to have films of him going, nah, 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 or he could lose the election and be sent to the joint where he belongs, and you could show us going, nah, 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 nah. So it's not a complete story. How come you finished?
Well, the beauty of the story that we're telling is that it's not dependent on either of those outcomes, because it really tells the story of how he got in trouble down here and the larger conspiracy that he was attempting and actually pulled off down here in Texas that affected the rest of the country. And it's already had its impact. The fact that he got five more hard right Republican congressmen from Texas has changed the nature of Congress. And that change is seen in bills like CAFTA and the energy bill and budget bills that have been passed by less than five votes that Tom DeLay won down here in Texas. So that's the story, the larger story that we're telling. We're kind of connecting the dots, trying to tell people that this is not a Texas scandal. This is actually a national scandal that affects their lives every single day.
Mm-hmm. Mark Birnbaum and Jim Schermbeck are my guests, and talking about their new film, The Big Buy, about Tom DeLay. How is this going to be distributed? In the manner that Robert Greenwald has done his other films?
Yes. Ours, in fact, is the first film that that Robert has decided to distribute that he hasn't produced himself. One of the incredible flood of emails that came our way was from Robert after he heard about the film, and we began a conversation with him. We had, a couple of different possibilities for a more traditional approach to distribution through film festivals and theaters. But Robert Greenwald and Brave New Films have really develop this grassroots approach to distributing a film that revolves around house parties around the country, some theatrical screenings in a few cities, and the website TomDelayMovie.com, which is the main connecting point for people who are interested and of like mind that want to look at this subject. So,
and you're being too modest. You can also purchase it there as well.
Yes.
Well,
TomDelayMovie.com.
Yeah, yeah. Let's get it out there. Let's make it as big as Robert Greenwald's Walmart film was. Because as you said, it's not just. I mean, on one hand, the microcosm of it, this corrupt, greedy, awful man representing a district in Texas is bad enough. But as you said, it's a national scandal. It is emblematic of the culture of corruption that the Republicans are part of. And it's not just lining their pockets, but they're destroying, as you said, the integrity of the Congress. Now, is it possible that you guys could wind up as being called in Tom DeLay's defense in his trial? I mean, I've heard some stuff about this.
There is a motion before the court that they will get around to eventually for prosecutorial misconduct and outrageous government conduct is what the motion is called.
This is what DeLay is saying about...
this is actually... That's right. And they're accusing Ronnie Earle of... doing too much media, being on 60 Minutes, being in Esquire, being in Texas Monthly, being in our film. And we are referred to in a couple of pages of that motion. We received a letter some months ago from one of the attorneys representing Jim Ellis saying that he wanted us to know that he intends to subpoena all of our raw footage, about 50 hours of tape, to see what else Ronnie Earle said to us.
Mm-hmm. Would you submit to that?
Well, we've got a fine attorney in Austin,
uh-huh.
And we'll see how that goes. We don't have any secret sources. We're not protecting anyone's anonymity. It's not like that. So I don't know. We'll have to see how that unfolds.
Mm-hmm. And the footage that's in your film, The Big Buy, How Tom DeLay Stole Congress, what's in it? Do you have, I mean, you obviously have footage of Tom DeLay. Did he at any time give you individual unique footage, or is this all media stuff?
No, this is, we have some stuff that nobody's seen before, that's for sure. We've got some great cable access video from 1994 from his district, Fort Bend County. And it's a great little piece where they just won. The Republicans just came into power. It was after the 1994 elections, and they were coming in January of 1995 on the wave of the Republican Revolution. And you can see it in his voice and how he describes things. He's very enthusiastic about, as he says, completely redesigning government, and talks about all the programs that he's going to slash and all the cabinet positions he's going to eliminate and how he's going to completely upturn the country because, as he says, a real revolution has taken place. I think that footage, which is at the front of the film, will be kind of a revelation and a reminder of what that was like back then. And then we also have some great stuff with Jack Abramoff introducing him in front of a college Republican convention in 2003,
great.
Telling the young Republicans that all of us want to grow up to be Tom DeLay. And, I think there's some things in there that people have not seen or have not been widely seen before that people will find interesting.
We weren't able to get Mr. DeLay to sit with us for an interview. Actually, we weren't able to ever get him to return our calls for 3 years.
Yeah, 3 years ago.
Now, when is the film going to be launched? I assume before the general election.
Yes, May 5th is going to be, the film will be premiering May 5th at the Angelica Theater in Houston, Texas.
Oh, man.
And I believe the DVDs are going to be available soon after that. You can order them. Actually, you can order them now at TomDelayMovie.com, pre-order them, and they'll be sent out pretty soon. That's also the place to go if you're interested in hosting a house party and getting other people together to see the film.
Now, let me just expand that quickly. Many of the people that are listening know about this through the Robert Greenwald's Walmart film, and also through a lot of house parties through like MoveOn.org. But many of you, when you think, I don't know what to do, there's only like four or five of me in this little red state town, get those four or five people, throw a house party. I'll bet you're going to find out you got about, instead of four or five, you got 15 or 20 people. And this is the kind of thing that can be done all over the country, and it gets you off the internet. It brings you face to face with co-thinkers that can become collaborators in an effort to win this country back. I see our clock is ticking away there. Is your film, The Big Buy, How Tom DeLay Stole Congress, is there a buzz on about it in, like, the Houston area?
There's some talk. We had a story on the front page of the art section in the New York Times last week.
And, you did indeed, yeah.
And so we're hoping it's really thrilling to both of us that people may do what you suggested and use our film as a starting point to get together and begin this conversation about how to change things.
Absolutely great. TomDeLayMovie.com. TomDeLayMovie.com. The Big Buy, How Tom DeLay Stole Congress, is the brand new film from Brave New Films. Mark Birnbaum and Jim Schermbeck, thanks for joining me.
You're welcome.
Thank you all.
I'm looking forward to seeing the film. This is the Mike Malloy Show. I'm Peter Werbe. We are now open line till closing time. So want your participation at 866-303-2270. I'll be right back.
The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Are you losing your hair? Fight back with Avacor, now with Boost, which gives you visibly thicker hair with the first application.
I'm 20 years old, and I've been losing my hair for 3 years. I started using Avacor, and my hair stopped falling out. It's working.
Well, I'm 72 years old, and I can tell you honestly, I have a fuller, healthier head of hair now than I did when I was 18 years old. Avacor really worked.
Whether you're 20, 72, or any age in between, Avacor works. An Avacor Boost will improve your hair's appearance the same day you receive your order. Call now and find out how you can get 3 months of Avacor free with your order. Call 1-800-301-1420. That's 1-800-301-1420. This is a limited time offer, so call right now. 1-800-301-1420. That's 1-800-301-1420.
Welcome back to the Mike Malloy Show. Peter Werby here with you. Open lines till we finish in an hour and 15 minutes, so please join us. Open line means you can talk about anything you want. What I'm talking about, raise something new. I'm ready to talk about anything. Well, I guess. There's a phone screener, so if you really want to talk about something really ugly, nasty, down and dirty, she's not going to let you through. 866-303-2270. Email at calltalkyes@yahoo.com. Remember, in fact, let's do this. I'm getting overwhelmed by email now. I mean, appreciate it. I mean, this is a national show. We're in, I don't know what, 70 stations, 90 stations. So I can't get to it all. I'm trying. And so probably less forwards to begin with. By the way, was it last night? Well, yeah, we were talking about atheism. I got some more on that. Really crazy stuff. But Keith, who's listening in Ottawa, he wrote in and he said he lives in Ottawa. He feels totally isolated, never met another atheist up there, and also that he was actually threatened once for being an atheist. So people heard that, and I sent him an email that I guess they were also, I can't remember what that was. It was like OttawaHumanist.org or HumanistOttawa.org, something. Anyways, Keith writes back to calltalkyes@yahoo.com from Ottawa. Thank you for sending the link the listener sent in. I will definitely check it out. I listen to Air America to hear like-minded people such as yourself and Mike and Kathy and Janine. I'm going to check out your, for a lot of reasons, shouldn't keep reading, but nothing that you said wrong, Keith. But anyway, so we hooked them up. This is, sort of like a dating service or something like that. Yeah, hey. All right, let's go to Alan in Miami. Alan, hi, it's Peter Werby on the Mike Malloy Show. You're on the air.
Hey, thanks a lot for taking the call. I was inspired to call when you said to take a look at the Tom DeLay movie thing, and I went to it. And immediately after watching the first few seconds of the preview,
the trailer,
it's quite amazing. And it just sort of rang a bell in my head when DeLay says something about it's like a little poker game here. It just might eliminate the federal government altogether, and I'm really fine with that. Something to that effect. Certainly, it just connected a lot of dots. We have lots of ways of talking about those who have taken our power and all that kind of stuff. But for how long have people like you and I and others been called subversives? These are the real definition of subversives.
Well, on the other hand, we are subversive in the precise meaning of the word. We want to subvert undemocratic power and the way decisions are made in this country and create the vision of this country the way it was supposed to be. So sometimes people... Yeah.
It can be a good thing, but what I'm saying, since the negative connotation of subversion describes them.
It is. It does.
They're in there to destroy whatever semblance of representative government exists.
You got it. Thank you. I appreciate your comment. And we're talking about the movie called The Big Buy, How Tom DeLay Stole Congress. Congress. You can go to TomDelayMovie.com. Here's Mike. Mike's in Wilmington, North Carolina. Hi, Mike. It's Peter Werby on the Mike Malloy Show.
Hi, Peter. Thanks for taking my call, buddy.
Sure.
I wanted to go back to something you were talking about a little bit earlier. You had a caller talking about Tammy Duckworth and the other candidate whose name neither one of us can pronounce very well. I just wanted to say that this is a big discussion on a lot of left-leaning blogs such as the Daily Coast and some of the other ones, and my personal take on this is that I am extremely, extremely angry with the amount of Democrats in Congress and in the state and local machine, so to speak, that have been complicit with the Republicans for, I think, decades and bringing us down to the road where we're at now. And I don't know how your listeners feel about this or how you may feel about it.
Well, I think there's probably a split. I mean, one of the reasons I think I got fired, besides talking about religion from my last job, is I would regularly refer to the Democrats as the other half of the ruling racket.
Well, exactly.
And with a few very notable exceptions, to be sure. And one of the things I think we made a mistake on along the way in the last couple of years is not having candidates running in the primaries.
Absolutely.
Against these Republican-like Democrats. Now, like the people that ran against Rahm Emanuel,
mm-hmm.
I think he got 20% of the votes, he or she. I don't know who. I can't remember who it was.
But
that means that campaign talked to a lot of people about the ideas that drive most progressives.
And that's the point that I was coming in to make. I think it's important that anybody who wants to be effective in, you know, really affecting change in this country has got to understand that, you know, we can't play ball with the Democrats the way they've been playing it with us. And we've got to get our own candidates in there. And it has to start on a local level. And I'm working against, you know, I'm working with some people down here to get rid of this idiot that we have as our Democrat, Mike McIntyre, from our district. And he's a Joe Lieberman Republican, which means a Democrat, which means he's a Republican, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, it's hard to not confuse him.
You've got to get these guys out on the local level, you know, the sheriffs, the county commissioners.
That's how the right wing began, and if we haven't figured it out yet, I don't know what to say. Mike, I got to get another call. Here's Parviz in Larchmont, New York. Thanks for joining us.
Hi, good morning, Peter. I want to talk to you about Iran and how U.S. policies over there has been disastrous and why we have a theocracy instead of democracy due to U.S. policies. You know, in 1941, the British had a regime change in Iran and put the son of the old Shah in power because the old Shah was powerful and wanted to get more for oil, and British had the concession of oil. So 1941 they put him in, and then in 1951 we had a leader, a national leader, Dr. Mossadegh. I don't know if you know him or not.
I do.
But he nationalized our oil.
Which meant it was bye-bye for him with the British and the CIA ganging up on him, right?
Exactly. But what happened is that the British put an embargo, you know, this is the History 101, a very short version of it, put an embargo around Iran, didn't let us sell our oil after the nationalization of the oil. And then they came here to USA and told Truman.
Yeah, well, you know, I'll tell you, this history is so important, and it should be told. Unfortunately, as you hear this music coming up, it means I have to say goodbye to you and not let you finish your story. But people got to understand, as you're beginning to tell us, that the history of Iran didn't begin in 1979 or 2 years ago. So people should look that up, find out the information. It's the Mike Malloy Show, Peter Werby. Hey, call us. Open line, 866-303-2270. I'll be right back.
Mike Malloy on Air America Radio.
At Borders, we believe readers should never be stuck without something good to read.
What are you reading?
Soda Can.
Like it?
I've read it before.
Yeah, me too. I found it rather predictable. Carbonated water, aspartame.
I like the part about the phenylketonuric, though. Mm. Sounds so ominous.
You'll always have something great to read with Borders Rewards. Joining is free. Earn rewards every time you shop. See store for details.
What do you think the author meant by canned under the authority of?
Ooh, that part did seem to come out of nowhere.
That's what I thought.
Join Borders Rewards. Make reading even more rewarding.
The following is a message from Brutus at the National Disaster Search Dog Foundation.
Last October, three buildings collapsed. I was called in to help. Two little kids were missing. I looked everywhere. Then I found them. They were crying. We all were.
Be part of the search. Call 1-888-4K9-HERO or visit searchdogfoundation.org. Made possible by Search Dog USA.
Radio News, I'm Jeff Weiser. Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice continues to pressure Afghanistan over the death sentence for an Afghan man who converted from Islam to Christianity. In brief remarks at the State Department, Rice said she is deeply concerned about the case.
There is no more fundamental
issue for the United States than freedom of religion and religious conscience. This country was founded on that basis, and it is at the heart of democracy.
Three Christian peace activists held hostage in Iraq since November were rescued Thursday. Two Canadians and a British citizen were found tied up at a house in western Baghdad. British-led forces freed them after a suspect detained revealed their location. No kidnappers were arrested at the house. A fourth man kidnapped with the group, American Tom Fox, was found dead 2 weeks ago. Meanwhile, a suicide car bombing in Baghdad killed 25 people at a police station. The prosecution has rested its case in the death penalty trial of 9/11 conspirator Zacharias Moussaoui. Reporter Deirdre Blake says a former FBI agent who was employed there in 2001 was the prosecution's final witness in the trial.
Aaron Zebley testified that the FBI could have been better prepared to foil the 9/11 terror attacks if Moussaoui had been honest about his knowledge of the 9/11 attacks before they happened.
An early morning fire on a Princess Cruises ship in the Caribbean killed a passenger and injured 11 others. Cruise line owner Carnival says the passenger who died suffered cardiac arrest. The ship docked at Montego Bay, Jamaica, Thursday morning. It's not clear if the cruise will continue or not. It left Fort Lauderdale, Florida last Sunday for a week-long Caribbean cruise. Milwaukee police say they don't have any strong leads in their search for two missing boys. The 11 and 12-year-old boys were last seen Sunday after leaving their homes to meet at a nearby playground. A reward for information that helps find the boys has grown to more than $23,000. The Florida Senate has voted to make it a crime for telemarketers to make unwanted calls to your cell phone, but the battle is far from over. Despite the unanimous vote in the Senate, the cell phone bill is in considerable trouble. A powerful coalition of banking, insurance, and securities interests has ganged up against the bill, and it may never see the light of day in the State House of Representatives. You're listening to Air America Radio News. I'm Jeff Weiser.
Welcome to the Mike Malloy Show on the Air America Radio Network. Peter Werby sitting in for Mike. Going to do it for one more hour tonight. Like your participation, 866-303-2270. It's a toll-free number. And I'll be doing it one more night for Mike tomorrow. And then, I'm going back to my Detroit job. Well, you'll be pleased to know that the U.S. military is telling us that most of Iraq is peaceful. Only 3 of 18 provinces, they say, is there any problems. But in those 3, all hell is still breaking loose. And I doubt their contention that the 15 others are actually peaceful. But fighting there raged on with at least 58 people killed in execution-style slayings, bombings, and gun battles. Man. Well, one piece of good news. Do we ever get any good news out of Iraq? You know, one thing I've been trying. Do you believe this? This will be almost the fourth night in a row that I've been trying to get to the economy. I mean, I live here in Detroit, right? And you know what's happening with General Motors and these buyouts and the Delphi Corporation. Things are steadily going to hell. I mean, there is this race to the bottom. And at the same time, the stock market is going up. Wow, it's above 11,000. Everybody's doing great. Well, everybody in the owner class is doing great, right? Well, actually, I have that in my hand. I'm not even going to deal with it right now. But the good piece, the one good piece of news, and the reason to deal with the economy, it's the linchpin of it all. I mean, sure, these guys like Bush and Cheney and the rest of them are just mad, and they want to rule, and they want to be powerful. They want to be safe from being contradicted and what have you. That's their own wacky personality structure. But ultimately, it's the rule of money. They want to be able to loot the rest of the world and loot the classes below them in a manner that does not get any resistance. Our job? Hey, resist. But here's the good news, and this is old news by now, that U.S. and British forces stormed a house and freed 3 Christian peace activists today without firing a shot. They were being held for 4 months. And you probably remember, if you've heard this show several times, is that one of our callers, I think his name is Chuck, was friends with the one man who was killed, Tom Fox, murdered. Apparently he was not tortured. He was shot and then dumped in western Baghdad. There's no reason whatsoever for why he was killed and the others weren't. So the Brits and U.S. soldiers stormed this house in Abu Ghraib. You've heard that name before, right? But what is very, very odd, even though it's still odd that there were Canadians, 3 of the men that were freed were Canadians, that Canadian Prime Minister Stephen Harper, a Bush clone, said Canadian forces also took part in the rescue operation. Their role was unclear. Now, what's going on here? Now, Canada, and particularly Canadians, are so over the top opposed to the war, like most people in the world, and now even most people in the United States. But Harper is trying to move Canada far to the right. I think he's going to have a real bad time of it. Now, I was reading something. Oh, this is good news as well. This was in the Agence France-Presse. Whew, I sure can't speak French, can I? The Iraq War is now as unpopular at home as the Vietnam War was in 1968, but in the absence of a military draft and a clear way out, Americans are not taking to the streets, analysts say. Well, we're the analysts as well. You know, let me just shut my mic for 1 second. I thought that was better than coughing in your ear. I was reading USA Today. In fact, there was this article, I may get a guest on, the person who wrote it, Mark Siegel, a doctor who I've interviewed before, that is wondering about this bird flu, whether it's not just another panic situation like the swine flu of 1976, where the inoculations turned out to be worse than the disease, which didn't turn out to be bad at all. Anyways, below it is this half-page ad, big paper, right? Democracy in Iraq, Iraq's new currency now available. This is a very strange world because money is very strange. Nobody really understands it. It's supposed to represent value, right? It's not exactly clear what value is. And some people say this paper currency is worthless. It's gold that has to represent value. Well, first off, it's not exactly clear what value is, how it's ascertained on a market or on a market basis. And then gold has arbitrarily been assigned value as well. So it's all pretty crazy. But what's the craziest is buying money. And there is a currency exchange. So they talk about how the Kuwait dinar. You know, one of the reasons, someone said they couldn't pronounce, we both said we weren't sure of Tammy Duckworth's opponent's name and how to say it. I never watch television. And so I'm always reading stuff. And suddenly what happens to me, I come across something and I go, ooh, I've never heard this pronounced before. Dinar, I'm going to call it. The Kuwaiti dinar, that is how I remember now. That the Kuwaiti dinar was after Saddam Hussein invaded in 1990, it dropped in value to 10 cents to the dollar. It was 2.79. So people bought up Kuwaiti dinars, and then it topped out at 3.39. So people cashed in, and according to this ad, millionaires were made overnight. So they're doing the same thing with the Iraqi dinar. And it's unlike the Kuwaiti dinar. Didn't I say I was going to call it that? The Iraqi dinar has more assets behind it than the Kuwaiti dinar. And they talk about, you can buy this. Now they come roaring in with this Bush-like analysis, saying that the United States is bringing democracy there and all that. But they want you to buy dinars. Iraqi dinars, you can buy 250,000 Iraqi dinars for $320. Now, they say if the rate of it only goes up to a penny, if you've bought a million Iraqi dinars for $1,200, you would, if it only went up to 1 cent, it would be worth $10,000. If it went up to $1, let me see here, if the Iraqi dinar only appreciates the half of what the Kuwaiti dinar trades, 1 million Iraqi dinars would be worth $1,700,000. So they're trying to sell you these Iraqi dinars as speculation. And right now, the currency notes are available in 25,000 dinar notes. So if you buy 250,000 of them, that's the lowest amount you can buy, you pay $320 and you get 10 pieces of paper that you hope to hell is going to go up in price. Here's James in Detroit, Michigan, my hometown. Hey, James, you're on the air. Welcome to the Mike Malloy Show. Peter Werby here. Hi.
I would just like to say that I have enjoyed the day that you have been on.
Thank you.
And Randy Rhoads and this show is the most hard-driving two of Air America, but I love Air America. And I'd just like to say this. When the now president was down in Florida in 2000 when the whole Buha came up about the election, and he was voted in by the Supreme Court.
Right.
A lot of people didn't pay attention, but the stage was set when the Supreme Court did what they did. The stage was set for everything else you see.
That's it?
That done it all. When he got in over the Supreme Court, put him in, forget the people, what should have been done, the dispute was in Florida largely, correct?
Yeah, yeah.
What should have been done, the whole thing in Florida should have been done over.
Well,
actually, should have been done over.
Actually, I don't know, James, should have just been given to Al Gore properly. Yeah, that began it all. That tumbled it all down.
That did. That got them where they are now. And all of the time for the last 15 years, left-wing wackos, crazy fanatics, and the Democrats just kept bagging up and bagging up. Now he done stepped on our Constitution, and he's saying, forget you, I got the power to do what I want to do. But if he got the power to do what he claimed he was given, then why they fighting so hard to let it come out and see if it passed the smell test in a court?
You got it. Thank you, James. Here's Justin in Wisconsin. Thanks for calling 866-303-2270. You're on the air.
Thanks, Peter. Just wanted to say you've been doing a great job filling in for Mike this week.
Well, thank you.
Really,
big shoes to fill, I always say.
I just wanted to touch on a couple things you just talked about, actually. The Milwaukee Journal Sentinel today had an article about bird flu, and the scientists down there have determined the genes that will probably prevent bird flu from actually mutating to go into a human-to-human form.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one thing that you were talking about it might be just a scare tactic. And
hey, Justin, hold on for me. We got to take a break, and I'll get back to you. Let you talk about your second point. Yeah, I'm surprised that nobody picked up the phone. Of course, maybe this is old news, as that Secretary of War Rumsfeld owns stock in the company that makes Tamiflu. So he's making lots of money, as he always does, as they always do. I should have been saying this all along. Have I told you tonight how much I hate these people? That's what Mike Malloy always says. 866-303-2270. Peter Werbe at your service.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Hey, Truth Seekers, Mike Malloy here, and you can hear me, of course, on Air America Radio. If you're as fed up with the Bush crime family as I am, you need to go to ImpeachBushGame.com. That's ImpeachBushGame.com, where you can get the new board game, Impeached, that points out the lies, incompetence, and stupidity of George W. and the entire Bush crime family. You'll have fun playing this eye-opening board game that dares to peek into the Bush administration. Impeached will challenge your ability to lie, cheat, and steal. I'm for real here. Order your game now at ImpeachBushGame.com.
Don't let a stiff neck or an aching back or even arthritis keep you from being active. Go out and get the Salon Pause Patch. Salon Pause medicated patches provide fast and sustained relief to aching muscles and joints. Simply apply the Salon Pause Patch where it hurts and enjoy hours of soothing relief. No fuss, no mess, just lasting relief. So don't let muscle pain slow you down. Be more active with the Salon Pause Patch. Salon Pause is available at major chain drugstores and pharmacies.
And now, back to Peter Werby on the Mike Malloy Show.
Thank you, Mike. 866-303-2270. Open line and open lines as well. Yesterday I was talking about, Justin, I'm going to get right back to you. I was talking about that rally in Wheeling, West Virginia, and Bush had these huge signs saying, plan for victory. Of course, he has none. You take these for granted that they're props, but they're paid for by the American taxpayer. So essentially, they are these political Republican right-wing signs that are paid for by all of us. And I said they could cost $1,500 a piece. I hadn't seen the photographs, and suddenly I saw this one. I mean, it could cost $5,000 or $6,000. That's what we're paying for. All right, hey Justin, you're back on the air. Go ahead.
All right, thanks. Actually, just kind of riffing off that point, I wanted to talk about the economy a little bit, and there's no better indicator, I think, than the area where I'm in is the Fox Cities area of Wisconsin, where you can't drive a mile without running into a paper mill. Mm-hmm. And Gladfelter, one of the paper mills around here, just closed down, and Kimberly-Clark just announced that they're going to close 2 mills in the area.
Really?
So that's 1,400 jobs in this area, and a very pretty small population area that are going to closed by the end of 2007. So,
yeah, we're suffering, of course, here in the Detroit area as well. In fact, if I get a chance, I'll talk about it. One of the things, though, that this whole system is based on blackmail, and the Kimberly-Clark and these other paper manufacturers, of course, were major polluters. They've destroyed the Fox River unless they've cleaned it up in the last few years.
Well, absolutely, and they've actually been dredging the Fox River and Little Lake Butamore of PCBs, and just driving over the Little Lake Butamore Bridge, you can see these huge bags that are just filled with just, you know, riverbed sod mm-hmm. that they've been sucking these PCBs out of, and it's dangerous because, you know, you drive by here and you see the smokestacks all the time. So
right. Well, that's the blackmail. So they tell you, if you want jobs, we're going to pollute. Or we'll take away your jobs and you'll have a nice, pristine. Of course, it's not, because they leave you with the PCBs. Justin, thanks for joining us. Here is Ina in Atlanta. Ina, hi, it's Peter Werby.
Don't worry about it. I love your show.
Well, thank you.
Anyway, I have a little personal thing that you might can help me with. I'll be brief. I received a letter from the Republican National Committee.
Oh, yeah?
Yes, I did. Yeah, it is funny. And this wonderful, dear fellow Republican, it's in the form of a census where they're asking these questions about the Bush administration. They have a voter ID code number down here, my registration number, and all this stuff about me.
Mm-hmm.
And then they go on with these awful things about the Democratic Party. And they... the thing is, if anyone had done any homework at all, they would know that I am African American, live in a zip code where you can count the Republicans on your fingers.
Well, what do you think, how do you think this got generated? Any idea? Did your neighbors get one?
No, I'm suspicious. I'm not a paranoid person, but I am suspicious about this. I'm a private person, but my friends and family know me as an activist.
Mm-hmm.
I spend a lot of time blowing off about these Republicans. And so, I mean, really, he might have been listening to me and trying to get my signature on the census of the sort of a survey about the Bush administration.
Well,
so they can transfer it to a vote. You know how crooked they are.
Well, they are. But you know what, Ina? I think there's any number of ways, including somebody just playing a little practical joke on you. I'm not saying that's the case, but... Well, every once in a while, I talk to people that have gotten signed photographs from George Bush and asking for money, and they think, how in the world could they confuse me with somebody that would support this guy? I don't know. Well, Ina, thanks for the story. I appreciate that. Here's Eddie in Savannah, Georgia, and we're going to talk a little more about buying Iraqi currency. Go ahead, Eddie. You're on the Mike Malloy Show. Peter Werby with you. Eddie, are you with me?
I thought what you said was real interesting, but you didn't say where to buy it.
You do it?
Absolutely.
Well, I don't know why I'm doing this, but I can't. UnitedStatesCoins.us.
So you do it online, uscoins.us?
Listen, you're twisting my arm even to get me to do this. You go there and check it out. So you, what would you buy? How would you buy? $250,000.
I've got $1,200. I don't mind taking a chance.
Damn.
Well, I mean, if you have just stated facts on why to buy it.
I know, but doesn't it? You know the old adage about if it sounds too good to be true, right?
Well, you know what? I wanted to buy Kmart stock when it was down, and I didn't do that. Now look at it. And I can't tell you all the other stocks I wanted to buy. I wanted to buy a Chrysler stock when it was down, when it was reorganizing, and I didn't do that. And there were a number of companies that went down to almost nothing, and then they were turned around.
Well,
so now I think Iraq is going to be turned around. I don't know when, but one day it will be.
Well, hold
on. They're not going to change their name of their money to Greek names.
I know,
but it's their own name.
Wait a minute. You're in Savannah, Georgia. You got any Confederate currency? Because, you know, the South might rise again, too. Thanks, Eddie. Appreciate your call. Buying Iraqi dinars. I don't know. They say they've been in business since 1995, the largest distributor of currency and coins in the United States. Maybe they're reputable. I don't know. I sure wouldn't do it. I'd take that $1,200, go back to Venezuela or something. The Mike Malloy Show, 866-303-2270.
This is the Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
More coffee, mister?
Yes, please. Oh, boy.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Hot coffee all over you. Let me get some paper towels and some cold water. Are you all right?
Why, I'm just fine, young lady. It's just scalding coffee.
Mister, you must be gelling.
That's why I'm not yelling, even though there's considerable redness and swelling.
More gel, more gelling. New and improved Dr. Scholl's massaging gel insoles. More cushioning. Totally outrageous comfort. To start gelling like never before, see the doctor, Dr. Scholl's.
Waitress, how about some more coffee?
Do you know the power of financial empowerment? Ambassador Andrew Young, humanitarian and educator, has teamed with Operation Hope founder John Bryant to help eradicate poverty through financial literacy education. Mr. Bryant, how is Operation Hope meeting this challenge?
To empower 5 million youth in 5 years in financial literacy.
Ambassador Young, what's your role in financial literacy education?
Well, I came up with Martin Luther King in the Civil Rights Movement. And now we're trying to develop a civil rights movement. Young people in the system of free enterprise and capitalism need to understand money and how it works. It takes an army of volunteers, business leaders, educators, the entire community. We need the community's help.
If you need financial hope, we're here to help you. Call Operation Hope at 877-592-HOPE. That's 877-592-HOPE. Or visit us online at operationhope.org.
At Borders, we believe readers should never be stuck without something good to read.
Well, Club, we read a real classic, The Mac and Cheese Box. Let's discuss.
Oh, I loved it. The boiling of the water, the adding of the salt.
What about the French directions?
Yeah, bouillie d'eau de chasse. So romantic.
Yeah.
You'll always have something great to read with Borders Rewards. Joining is free. Earn rewards every time you shop. See store for details.
What about next month? How about the French fried onion can? I've been dying to read it. Oh.
Join Borders Rewards. Make reading even more rewarding.
We'll be right back.
Listen up. We've got a war zone here today, right in our heartland. And across the USA, these multinational bastards don't use tanks and guns, it's true. But they've declared a war on us. Fight back, it's up to you. Oh, it's a war on the workers.
War on the workers.
Oh, it's a war on the workers.
War on the workers.
Oh, it's a war on the workers. And it's time we started calling the shots.
Absolutely. Ann Feeney, thank you very much. If you ever get to see Ann Feeney, that album's called Union Made, and, you know, I shouldn't even talk. If I had a show, I'd probably play half music. That's War on the Workers from her Union Made LP, CD now, right? Of course, AnnFeeney.com, AnnFeeney. Man, I hate to take those things off, but we got a talk show. You're part of it, 866-303-2270. Peter Werby on the Mike Malloy Show. Now, this comes from Canada, and so I don't know whether the man's name is Dennis, because it's only got one N, or Denis. Anyways, seeing seemingly ever-ending bad news out of America's heartland, the Midwest, it makes me wonder, why aren't most of the people there out protesting as the decent jobs that made American families prosperous are being dismantled and moved out of the country? One phenomenal thing that could be done is to take the burden of health care off the employer and shift it to the general public, just as things work for public education. It seems to work for Japan and all of Western Europe, even for Canada, where I now live. Now, there's just no money. I'm going to call you Dennis. There's no money, Dennis. It's all being wasted, given away to the wealthy, spent on Iraq. A public health program? Well, that would be nice. Now, the Dow yesterday climbed to a new five-year high. So when Bushko talks about the economy is doing great, what he's talking about is return on investment for the ultra-wealthy. And there's not even a trickle-down theory anymore. Remember, when was that from, like the 40s or the 50s? If the rich got richer, then it would start trickling down. But we know the other part of that equation, the rich get richer, and the rest of the classes get poorer. So now even the middle class is starting to lose wealth in terms of income and overall wealth. And let's see here. This is just a long economic article. But, of course, the big news is that General Motors reached a landmark agreement yesterday with the United Auto Workers, the UAW here in Detroit, and it's going to reduce sharply the ranks of a generation of auto workers long envied to by other blue-collar workers for their wages and benefits. In other words, the UAW is overseeing this diminishing of what they had fought for two, three generations. I'm not even sure they have any options. I think American workers are really over a barrel, unless we, and I consider myself within that and within the union movement, I've been a union member for over 30 years, the American Federation of Television and Radio Artists, unless we launch resistance that hasn't been seen in this country since the 1960s, the Civil Rights Movement, or maybe more directly applicable, what our grandfathers and what have you did during the 1930s. Now, Delphi, the nation's biggest automotive parts manufacturer and a unit of GM until 7 years ago, is going to offer buyouts of $35,000 to 13,000 UAW members. $35,000. That doesn't go very far these days, does it? And you got to remember, they're going to have to pay taxes on it. Now, GM is going to offer buyouts and early retirement packages that would start at 35 and go up to 140,000. And depending on what you take and how long you've been there, it depends on whether you take retirement benefits. So, well, actually, let me go to the Detroit News. This despicable rag that's always been on the wrong side of every social question since it began, and has just done the most awful things, printed the biggest lies about anybody struggling for social justice and for peace. I mean, a mainstay of the Red Scare during the 1950s, and on and on and on. Supporter of the Vietnam War almost to the end. And right now, it is run by, at least on the editorial page, by a man named Nolan Finley. And I had a debate with him. Actually, there were several of us in an ACLU forum here in Detroit. He got so angry at me, he actually whispered behind me, "F you," except he didn't say F. And the moderator said, did he say what I think he said? Anyways, here's his editorial today in the Detroit News. It was a scab paper for a long time. They tried to break all of their unions beginning in 1995, all the Teamsters, all the Newspaper Guild workers, because they wanted to run a newspaper without unions. And Nolan Finley writes today, GM buyouts reduce costs, but more reforms needed. Reforms! This is what he calls reforms. People are going to be kicked out of great jobs, and that's a reform. Get this, UAW should be grateful, help cut uncompetitive benefits. In other words, it should preside even more over the orderly destroying of middle-class life styles and expectations for working people in this area. Here's what he says. The United Auto Workers should be grateful for the good faith gesture by the world's largest automaker. GM and Delphi could have insisted on harsher measures. Well, here we got to grab our hat off our head and say, thank you, sir. Thank you for what you've given us. Who screwed up here? Who screwed up here? The working men and women, the industrial workers, the auto workers of the Detroit area, and those of you in automobile plants around the country, you didn't screw up. You worked your butt off. And over the last few years, they had speed up after speed up. And who ultimately was responsible for this? The guys with the suits on, the multimillionaires. And they're the ones that are trying to make sure they do well. They come off doing good. They don't suffer any of the consequences of their absolutely stupid policies. Kia is coming to the United States, going to build a plant, going to put up a $1 billion facility down in Georgia, pay almost the same wages. They're not going to do unions, they don't think at least. But they're going to pay almost the same amount of union wages comparable to union wages. Not the benefits, though. So what it means is you're going to work in a factory. Some of you have worked in factories. Some of you have seen it. You got to go in one. Or you got to come to Detroit and come to the Detroit Institute of Arts and see the representation on the wall there of this mural done by the great Mexican muralist Diego Rivera to get kind of a hint, if you don't know directly, what work in automobile plants are. It's, in many cases, a descent into hell. I mean, sure, they've made a lot of them more modern in the last few years, but still, it's not a place where you want to spend 30 years. So they're going to suck life out of people, put them in this environmentally poisonous, toxic atmosphere, and then say, well, screw you, here's $35,000 before the taxes are taken out to give to Bush's buddy and to prosecute a war in Iraq. Well, I say, F you, Nolan Finley. Let's see what you say. Got some open lines for you as well. 866-303-2270. Here's Dean in, Dalla, Georgia, is it? Hey, Dean, you're on the air.
Hi, Peter.
Oh, Duluth. Sorry, couldn't see it. Go ahead, you're on the air.
Yeah, it's the other Duluth. Yeah. Second time caller, great show.
Thank you.
I just wanted to comment on this scam to sell people dinars, or however it's pronounced, in small denominations. It's a diabolically clever way of making the average guy a war profiteer, so that we'll root for the war, and when the investment goes on the rise, we'll say, oh heck, don't pull out now, stay in there until my investments, until my $600 to $6,000.
That's interesting, because our caller, was it Eddie? He actually would be hoping for the victory of the occupiers. I mean, do I hope for their defeat? Yeah, I hope we stop right now. We say, like we lost in Vietnam, like we should lose in Iraq as well. Because this type of war it will encourage Bush and his successors to do the same thing. So it's time to get out now. But yeah, I agree with you.
Yeah, it's part of the ownership society, and the thing is that the average person might make $1,000, but you've got to multiply that by the misery that will cause in doing that.
That's blood money.
Yeah,
I mean, I don't even know why I gave him the website. That's blood money,
yeah.
Absolute blood money. Because in order to pacify Iraq to keep up this occupation, we're going to have to see the deaths and injuries of perhaps thousands of more Americans, injuries of thousands more, and the thousands and thousands of more Iraqi citizens. Thank you, Dean. Thanks for bringing that up. Here's Roberta in San Diego. You're having a party?
Hi, how you doing?
Good, Roberta.
We had our Air America party tonight down in the Gas Lamp Quarter, and Ed Schultz was there. It was wonderful. I think we've had about five parties now. I haven't gone to all of them, but...
Wait a minute. Why do you invite Ed Schultz to an Air America party? He's not on our network.
I don't know.
Okay.
Well, KLSD. I don't know. Anyway.
You had a station party. How many people were there, Roberta?
I'm guessing, maybe like 500. We had to wait in line, those of us who didn't get there right away. We had to wait in line for about an hour because they had a capacity crowd. We were having fun even when we were waiting. This is a great group of people. I'm telling you, they're intelligent, they're colorful, they're very alive, and the parties get better every time. It's like a healing break from what we're starting to call outrage overload, that some of us get into.
Can you hold on, Roberta? I want to take a break, and then I'll be right back. I want to ask you a couple things and suggest some things to other listeners. Peter Werby on the Mike Malloy Show, 866-303-2270. Some open lines for you. We'll be right back.
The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Don't let a stiff neck or an aching back or even arthritis keep you from being active. Go out and get the Salon Pause Patch. Salon Pause medicated patches provide fast and sustained relief to aching muscles and joints. Simply apply the Salon Pause Patch where it hurts and enjoy hours of soothing relief. No fuss, no mess, just lasting relief. So don't let muscle pain slow you down. Be more active with the Salon Pause Patch. Salon Pause is available at major chain drugstores and pharmacies.
Jen, what's up?
Hey, how'd you know I was having a party?
Everyone knows you're having a party.
Yeah, pretty crazy, isn't it?
Totally.
Hey, I'm gonna smoke up. Wanna get high? Here, you'll like this.
This is the moment your guidance can prevent your teen from smoking marijuana. So visit theantidrug.com and learn how to set clear rules about drugs. Parents, the anti-drug. Sponsored by the ONDCP and the Partnership for a Drug-Free America.
Mike Malloy Show, Peter Werby, subbing for Mike. Let's go back to San Diego and continue talking to Roberta. She went to an Air America party, about 500 people there. It must give you a good feeling, huh?
The parties are great. You know, they're fun. It's kind of like, you know, a healing break from, you know, just feeling overwhelmed with everything that's going on. It's a great group of people. And, you know, every time the parties are getting better, you know, they're not wild bashes or anything like that. You know, you know, they could be, but they're not. Anyway.
Okay. There must be some people meeting up. That'd be good. Hey, because you find like-minded people. But, Roberta, these are put together by the local Air America affiliate, huh?
Yeah, KLSD, you know, Stacy and Scooter and John Elliott, Craig Elston. I don't want to leave anybody out, but, you know, the local people here, you know, that have
that's
our local.
Great. Well, what I was going to suggest is that some people who feel that they have no way to connect up with other people, they might contact the Air America station in their area. Tell them that these parties exist and that they ought to go out, that the station ought to take a chance and throw a little shindig, even if they don't have an Air America personality that's going to be out there. Sometimes, of course, people are visiting and they can be timed with that. But that's a good way. And you know, if I know you've been listening for the last several nights, how big I am of getting out from our houses and start meeting our neighbors, start meeting people that think like we do, and see what kind of magic can come from that. Because that's how it all starts.
Yes.
All right, Roberta, thank you so much.
I have something else to
share. What's that? Yeah, what?
I'm a senior. I'm 62. I have a really young voice, so people.
I was going to guess you at 26.
Yeah, and I have some disabilities, and so I'm partially on Social Security. I work about 2 or 3 days a week for $7.25 an hour, and I work with thousands of people of all ages who are working for minimum wage and who don't make enough money to even, with two jobs, they don't have enough money to survive, and you know some of them have children. I mean, anyone who's claiming that the economy is good is surely not telling the truth. There's millions of us who are living well below the poverty level and who are suffering great hardships. So, you know, when Mr. Bush talks about making the American people feel comfortable, was the word he used a couple of days ago, I mean, you know, is he serious? I mean, comfortable? I've never felt so not comfortable and so not safe in my entire 62 years of living. There's no comfort and there's no safety in this country right now for those of us who are at the bottom of the pile and for those who are, you know, awake enough to see what's really going on.
Sure. Well, you know, Roberta, they're officially, and you don't see this too much in American papers, this is an article that I have from the London Observer, that in America there's 37 million poor hidden in the land of plenty.
Yeah.
But you know what? I think it's way, way beyond that because poor, what does that really mean? They consider it's something like $19,800 for a family of four. If you're making 20 grand a year and you have two parents working, you've got two kids, you make 20 grand, they consider you not poor. That's insane. Most single people these days can't live on 20 grand. So
when we get together, we talk about these things, we sit around and we talk about these things and, you know, we get to have some food and, you know, whatever and visit and we look forward to the day when we do feel comfortable and safe again.
Thank you, Roberta. Thank you so much for calling the Mike Malloy Show. One of the ways that Bushco is going to deal with this, they're going to eliminate the survey of needy families because there's this annual survey called the Census Bureau Survey of Income and Program Participation, and the way they're going to deal with the fact that under Bushco, or what did our one caller in the email said, Bush and Sons, Inc., that's who runs America now, a complete racket, a complete and 100% racket. Not any fulfilling any of the essential obligations of government. Anyway, that is the way they're going to deal with poverty. Stop reporting. And if it's not a phenomena that we can see in its aggregate, then we think, well, maybe it's just happening to me. Maybe I'm a failure. I'm not making very much money. I'm poor, so there must be something wrong with me. And it gets to be a personalized deal. And that's exactly what they want. If you've heard me before, you know one of the words I use frequently is atomized. Because one of the power that the people have is when we're joined together. If we're these atomized, fragmented individuals, well, there's no way in the world can we stand up to power. No way. So getting together, like Roberta was talking about, is a good way to start. Let's talk to Thomas. Thomas, you're on the air. Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Franklin, Ohio right now, but I'm from Detroit there, Mike.
Okay.
I'm calling, you know, this thing about this deindustrialization of Michigan and other northern areas. You know it came back, and you know for a fact when Chrysler was going under Iacocca's watch.
Sure.
And they borrowed that money from the government. Well, when me and my father got in a big argument, you know, about the concession.
About the what?
About concession, remember?
Oh, about the yeah.
Right. You know, and he was like, son, he said, let them go under. I'm like, daddy, they can't do that. They can't do that. He said, oh, yes, they can. Because whatever they're going to give up, it took them however many years, they got to get it. And once they say yes, it's going to be a snowball effect, and it hasn't stopped yet.
Yeah,
Since then, this whole country, every working person in America has been taking a cut on their job to prop up the job, which is a big farce.
Well, I'll tell you, Thomas, if we can bail out Chrysler, the government does that. How come the government won't bail out the Chrysler workers and the GM workers and the Delphi workers? Because, you know, we're just all pawns in the game. Hey, I got to go because we got to end the show, so thank you very much. Well, I'm going to be doing one more night here. And so far, I assume tomorrow night will be the same. It's been an absolute pleasure sharing the time with you. Mike and Kathy, I'm sure, will have stories to tell you about their vacation. Or maybe, because they didn't tell me. Very frequently, they tell me where they're going. They didn't even tell me. So they may be off to some incredible exotic spot with just the three of them, you know, the third being little Molly, who goes everywhere, including sitting in the studio while the show is being done, where it emanates from Atlanta, Georgia. Well, I'm Peter Werby. I'm in Detroit, and we're going to be back tomorrow night for my final show. You folks are really wonderful, as are the people at the Air America Radio Network headquarters. Jason, thank you. Dee, thank you. Justin, thank you. And there's probably lots of people who I don't even know who they are that out there, thanks to them as well. I'll be back tomorrow.
Mike Malloy on Air America Radio.
More coffee, mister?
Yes, please. Oh, boy.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Hot coffee all over you. Let me get some paper towels and some cold water. Are you all right?
Why, I'm just fine, young lady. It's just scalding coffee.
Mister, you must be gelling.
That's why I'm not yelling, even though there's considerable redness and swelling.
More gel, more gelling. New and improved Dr. Scholl's Massaging Gel Insoles. More cushioning, totally outrageous comfort. To start gelling like never before, see the doctor, Dr. Scholl's.
Waitress, how about some more coffee?
The following is a message from Brutus at the National Disaster Search Dog Foundation.
Last October, three buildings collapsed. I was called in to help. Two little kids were missing. I looked everywhere. Then I found them. They were crying. We all were.
Be part of the search. Call 1-888-4K9-HERO or visit SearchDogFoundation.org. Made possible by Search Dog USA.